MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. Chatting now with Isaac Odendo, he's Old Mutual Wealth Investment Strategist. Isaac, appreciate the early morning time. A recent article you put out talking around a number of issues around sort of AI, the CapEx boom, the spend. You make a great point that if anything, the AI CapEx boom is actually getting narrower. It's not broadening out. We are seeing more concentration in the indices as it continues afoot from the really, really giant hyperscalers and semiconductor shares.
Yeah, so it is really the semiconductor shares that have performed phenomenally well. And you know, now you have a company like Micron, who I think most South African investors have never heard of.
Yep,
and suddenly
yep.
It's worth more than $1 trillion. And so, yeah, we've seen this divergence this year, or let's say over the last couple of months, between the semiconductor side, let's call it the hardware side, versus the software side.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're seeing is essentially, I think, the market saying that on the software side, there's actually a risk that AI could disrupt some of these business models. Whereas in the past, of course, hardware and software kind of moved together. And the best place you can see it actually is just in the performance of emerging markets. If you look at the absolute flying stock exchanges of Taiwan and South Korea, where, of course, most of the chip manufacturing is done. I mean, it is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, South Korea in dollars more than doubled this year, to be clear, this year. And Micron, a 10-bagger in 12 months. And to your point, I had never heard of Micron until about 3 weeks ago when it broke the trillion-dollar market cap. This is not a 1990s-style bubble in the narrow sense. There is profit here. These companies are making a fortune. SK Hynix, Samsung, Micron, in their chip business, they really are printing cash. But it is cyclical, perhaps, is the important point.
Well, look, yeah. So it's definitely not a bubble in the sense or a valuation bubble, right? Mm. So because, as you say, these companies are very profitable. The bubble might be in the earnings of these companies. It might be that 2 or 3 years from now, the data center build-out slows. The demand for semiconductors either decline or just peters off, and then the prices have to come down to earth. I mean, the margins on some of these companies are phenomenal, and that just obviously is going to invite competition. And as you say, historically, semiconductors have been an extremely cyclical industry.
Yeah,
precisely because you know, this kind of demand and supply cycles are not always in whack, and then you end up with these big price cycles.
Absolutely. And what we're also seeing, and I hadn't thought around this part of it, you make a really great point around supply chain and the concentration in that. You've mentioned Taiwan, South Korea, that's where we're getting our chips from. Helium's coming out of Qatar. ASML's the only folks making those lithograph machines that everyone needs. There is a fairly significant concentration. And of course, this ultimately gets potentially political. We've seen the CHIPS Act. We've seen potential China export bans. We've seen U.S. bans on NVIDIA chips. We've seen Intel stakes. This starts to get quite geopolitical at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting if you think about it. I mean, the last 70 years, geopolitics has been driven by oil.
Mm.
I think it's safe to say that over the next decade or so, geopolitics could be driven by chips. And indeed, there's a great book by Chris Miller called Chip Wars, which kind of gets into all these details and all these countries trying to secure their own supply chains, because it is a massively concentrated industry, and there are very obvious choke points in this whole supply chain.
And then, to the point being, is for the investors out there, diversification is always the way to sort of manage this. But that diversification perhaps in some ways becoming harder than it looks. Maybe not so much for South Africans, but I mean, if you've got you diversified away from the US, you've got a nice EM fund, and of course that EM fund is now probably a quarter, a third, a half of it is South Korea.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of the underlying risk here, is that the AI theme is driving, you know, the US market is driving the EM market, as you say. There's a big slice of it now spilling over into corporate bond markets. It's driving a lot of economic activity in the US, the data center build out. So you know, that's all good and well while it lasts, and no one knows how long it lasts. I mean, no one, you know, all of these things are still up in the air, whether all these business models turn out to be profitable. You know, there's just too many questions around AI. But obviously, the more concentrated the whole market ecosystem becomes, as you say, the less it's more difficult to diversify yourself into areas that are not directly exposed to AI.
And if anything, this concentration, this mad rush to AI actually gets more higher risk. And I'm talking now the mega IPOs. We've got SpaceX next week. We've got Anthropic filed confidentially. SpaceX probably around 2 trillion, Anthropic around 1 trillion. OpenAI won't be far behind. That's going to be another trillion plus. We're nowhere near sort of the end days of this. This is still ratcheting up.
Yeah, no, and those IPOs, I think, will just drive further excitement, and you know, potentially keep this going. I mean, if you look back historically, though, often the big blockbuster IPO has been near the top of the cycle, and I'm not suggesting that that is the case now. I'm just saying that's been the case historically, because obviously that's the best time to list. The best time to list is when, you know, when investors are clamoring for your shares, and they're willing to pay you know, huge amounts of money to get hold of your shares. So I think that is another thing to bear in mind. You know, that I'm not calling the top. I'm just saying this is kind of behavior that you get around closer to the top of than the bottom of the cycle. And of course, the other problem for investors is that, you know, whereas with something like Nvidia, we've benefited, you know, as it's grown massively. With these IPOs, you know, most of the growth, or a lot of the growth, has taken place in private hands. And so we kind of, as public investors, you know, maybe we're not going to get the full benefit of that.
That's actually a great point. Now, Nvidia, you could have bought it when it was a 100 million market cap. It's now, you know, 5.5 trillion. These mega IPOs, you're buying at already 1 or 2 trillion. Most of that profit has gone to the private markets. But we'll leave it there. That's Isaac Odendaal, Old Mutual Wealth Investment Strategist. Appreciate the early morning time. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.